Hi, my name is Charles, and I serve here at Transformation Church as one of the executive pastors. And I want to take a moment before we jump into the message just to say thank you, first of all, for watching. It means the world to us that you would be a part, no matter where you're watching from, no matter who you are. I'm believing that this message is going to encourage your faith and hopefully transform your life. If you haven't yet, make sure you take a moment, subscribe to the YouTube channel, not for us, but really for you. We want to be a resource to encourage your faith and be with you on this journey of following Jesus. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the message today. I hope it blesses you.
All right. Well, I'm going to tell you something that has, in my many years of walking with God, has been an adjutant of change for me. This is not at all how I planned to come into this, but the Holy Spirit is doing his thing today. One of the things that starts working out of me, what's in me, is when God challenges me to give. And it has nothing to do with what I get out of it. And it's going to get quiet in the church, and it's okay. But many of us have had greed and selfishness worked into our hearts at such a level that when God asks us for something, we act like it's our untrusted, unworthy cousin. Y'all know them people like, you ain't never driving my car. Like those people. Many times that's the attitude and the heart posture when God asks us for something. Like his grace and mercy hasn't been new every morning. Like he hasn't put us in positions and places we know we didn't qualify for, but somehow God. And I was thinking about, like, you know, as a church, we step in every year to this season of crazy faith, and this year we're calling it crazy fruit. And I just wanted to take 5 minutes at the top and tell you why this is important. I don't want to convince anybody of anything. Some people have already decided in their heart that they are giving or they're not giving. I believe it's my duty as a pastor of this church that God has been so good to allow you to at least get in on this level of blessing and not gatekeep for you. There were too many people gatekeeping the blessing of God off of my life because they wouldn't give me the information and the real raw facts about what God's word said and how it worked in their life. All we saw a lot of time was everybody in the church give, and then the pastor rolling around in a big Cadillac, and you never knew what happened. I want to tell you how God changed my life in the area of finance, trust, generosity, and surrender. I read scriptures for years of people telling me that everything belongs to God. And then I started working, and I realized that it felt like it belonged to me. Oh, y'all gonna be faking here with me? It feel like I worked really hard for this, and that's my name on that W-2 line. Feels like this is mine. And God said, as long as you feel that way, that's what you'll have. Keep doing it. And I realized I loved God. Listen to what I'm about to say. But I did not trust him. I loved God. I did not trust him with my future. I did not trust him with my finances. And I want you to ask yourself, do you love God and do you trust him? Or do you love him excluding trust? And that sounds crazy right now, but if I got up here and said, man, I love my wife, Nat. I mean, she's so beautiful and gracious and kind. I love her with all my heart, but I don't trust her. Everybody be like, red flag. Why that man just get up here and tell us that he love his wife but don't trust her? And in church, we think it's synonymous. We think loving God and trusting him is the same thing, and it's not. So for decades of my life, this is for all the people who be like, give us the real, tell us the truth. I'm telling you right now, for years of my life, I loved God, did not trust him, and I didn't even have no money. It'd be the wildest thing, making $22,000 a year. That ain't no money. If you're making that, we are praying for you, because I was there.
making $22,000, that's no money. And I still loved him, but didn't trust him. And what I learned is it wasn't because I didn't want to trust him. I just didn't have enough understanding. And I felt like anytime anybody talked about money, they was trying to manipulate or con me into something. So I'm going to give it to you the coldest, most simplest way in 3 minutes. And I'm going to use these stairs. When we come into a relationship with God, everybody starts at this place. They start at the floor with their ability to trust God in the area of finance. And then God says, all right, I want to take you up levels. Somebody say there's levels to this. And what I found is there's a trick to trust. And I want you to hear me say this. God says in his word, I want everybody, no matter who you are, I want you to designate 10% of your increase to come back to the house of God. Now, there are people who feel all type of different ways in this. All I want to say is in March, I'm going to teach about finances. I'm going to give you the whole thing. But what I want to let you know is tithing is Old Testament, before the covenant, in it, and after it. Argue with your mama. I got scripture for all of it. But the truth of the matter is, us fighting about is it scriptural actually comes down to a deeper heart issue. When people are like, it's 10, why not 20%? Why not 30%? You don't give that. People that convince me and go back and forth with me about, like, I give more than 10, you're a liar. Because if you won't give the bare minimum, it's the floor, not the ceiling. So what God asks everybody to do is, watch this, tithe. What is tithe? It's obedience. I need to make this clear distinction. Tithing, giving 10% of your resources back to God's house, is not, listen to me, it's not generosity. Oh, I've been generous. No, you haven't. It's returning. So if I give you my keys or my credit card and you give it back to me, you weren't generous to me. You just returned to me what I already gave you. And so this is the cool thing about tithing. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, try it. Try it. Test me. See if you don't trust me in this area consistently. See what I won't do. And so many people make it like this thing where God's religiously, he's trying to bless you. But this takes you being obedient. And so the first level is stepping from here and saying, I'm going to tithe. I want everybody to hear me say this. In this crazy fruit offering, I don't want you to think about giving some big amount if you have never been consistent in tithing. I would rather a long-term transformation for your life than some, oh, yeah, I gave God 500. I gave him 5. He said, that's like going to the gym one time a year. And some of us go one, it don't matter if you stay in there 24 hours. And you lift all the weights, tomorrow you will say, tomorrow your body fat will be the same. And I just want to be real with them. I don't want to gatekeep this. One of the greatest things you could do for your life, your family, your mind, and your future is to make a decision. Is it from this point on, I am going to be consistent in trusting God with the tithe. I'm going to, everybody say this word, try. Try. But there's another level. This is where generosity is unlocked. When you give an offering, now hear what I'm saying, because nobody in church ever told me this. Tithing is required to God's house. Offering happens wherever God says. Hear me. Pastors and churches have made it to where, like, if you tithe here, when God tells you to give something else, you give an offering here. That's a lot. Stop. That may be manipulation. I'm supposed to, once I've settled what God has told me to settle in the tithe, then he knows that he has trust that I can be a conduit wherever I'm at. So I can be on the street. I can be at the basketball game. I can be at somebody's mastermind. I can be at a school. And God says, give them $50. Give them $100. Hey, go up to that lemonade stand where those girls are selling lemonade to go to the thing and ask them how much they need for their whole team to go on the trip. They're trying to raise $200, but they need $2,000. Go find out what the need. And those are considered offerings. The reason we don't get to this place is because this place takes trust. See, this down here, to go from here to here is just a try. But when you go from here to here, you gotta try. Because sometimes it don't make sense. Hold on, that $2,000 was for my kids to go on family vacation. And you just told me to give it to them kids who don't look like they love you, Lord. And then we start trying to qualify where our offerings go. Well, they look like they got money. Come on, have you ever felt compelled to do something and then you trying to add and subtract on people? Like, well, that hair is $300 and them eyelashes are $150 and y'all know. Easy. And God said, I want you to be a river, not a reservoir. Because offering is about, watch this, down here was obedience. It's trying. But right here, watch this, it's about future abundance. Because offerings are called a seed. All I'm trying to do at this level is plant for the future. And there are too many people that get to their future and be disappointed. Not because they're not good people. It's because when it was time to plant, they never put any seed in the ground. But I'm trying to encourage every person in here. The Bible tells it, I'm not going through a bunch of scriptures today because this is supposed to be my opener and I'm going to have 22 minutes left to teach y'all the message I got to teach you, but I got to keep going because somebody needs to. I wish somebody would have told me at 19 when I was spending money on fake Jordans. I'm pulling up at the gas station. Dude's popping his trunk, taking $80 for the Jordan, and the Jordan ain't even all the way, like, he's not even flying all the way. He's, y'all know what, don't look down. I had no clue that I was giving away my seed. I didn't know that that mattered to my kids' future. Nobody was telling me, plant. One day you're going to live in the forest of the seeds you plant. Your kids will find shade in the seeds. Your kids will eat from the seeds you planted. But everybody was making it like I was losing when I obeyed God. I'm just trying not to gatekeep right now. We stand in lines for Black Friday sales that are really gray. They're not even black no more. 20% is not a good sale. Next year's gonna be called Gray Friday because we got to do something. But literally, we feel like we're getting a bargain to get something that was overpriced. At a moment, it's cut down. And we go out of there feeling like we won. And we ain't sown no seed for future abundance. I would have rather you go out there and look for who you was going to bless. Some of y'all should have took that $500 and broke it into 20s and walked through them stores. Holy Spirit, lead me. Show me who's out here that's about to go into debt, and you giving me resources to give an offering and just to say God loves you and he told me to come. I'm just saying, because you never know if one of those people turn into your child or you. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So down here, he says, just obey me. Try it. Tithe. You step up to a new level. But then he says, go another level. Give every time I tell you to give. Be ready at any occasion to give. See, even just that small thing, do you prepare to give? I used to be lazy, and I would not have any cash on me so that I wouldn't have any cash on me. Oh, man. Giving yourself a full body massage. But you didn't plan to be generous. The people who roll with me know. Mo, I'll tell them, hey, bro, go get this out of the account. Put it in my bag. You need it for something? I just got to be ready. And sometimes I sit there for months. And sometimes minutes. No. I want you to hear what I'm saying. Sometimes it's there for months. And sometimes it's there for minutes because God said, I got need of it. You said it was mine, right? Here we go. Sow the seed. But then there's one more level. And I only found out about this level about 7 years ago. I thought it was tithe, offering, and then you good. Then I started reading in the Bible. The Bible is kind of one of them things that's crazy, because the more you start reading it and the more time you spend in it, you start seeing stuff that you done read before, but it didn't talk to you like that before. And I was reading how Solomon, when they went to build the temple, that the customary requirement was one bull. Sacrifice one bull. Do you know what this man pulled up on the scene with? 1,000. When the requirement was. Now, I just want you to come with me on the journey to wrangle up 1,000 bulls. This is what we call a sacrificial offering. This one is going to take something from you that you may never see back in the same way. We have no record of Solomon getting 1,001 bulls back. We have no record of 100-fold on bulls. Because a lot of times when we give sacrificially, we're like, all right, we gave God 1,000. 100,000 would be nice. But the sacrificial offering goes past denominators and monetary. It gets into the supernatural. It gets into the stuff money can't buy. It gets into the level and the lane that allows things that even if you had all the money in the world, that could solve. And I stepped off into this about 7 years ago in a way where I knew that this is where God was calling me and this church to live. I don't know if you know it, but the way that we give as a church is not normal. 3 weeks ago, we gave $600,000 away to other churches. Now, it's so funny. We live in such an alien planet as Transformation Church, we don't even know that that's crazy, which is good. Also, may desensitize us to the level of house you've been called to. I believe that the majority of this church is supposed to live at the level of sacrificial giving. Now, before, because some of y'all is like, ooh, may need to go to the church. I felt it. But let me tell you two things. God never asks for what he hasn't already given you. There has not been one time that God has asked me for something that I didn't have it. The question was I going to give it? So no matter how much the amount was, no matter what the number was, he had blessed me to the point where I could consider it. Because he's not unjust. Now, sometimes did it take me selling some stuff or parting with some stuff or not? Yeah. But it was a sacrifice. And this is what I'm going to say to everybody. When you get to this place, remember at the bottom it was trying. At offering is trusting God. At this place, this is God trusting you. You missed it. Let me go back. At this, I don't even really know if God gonna do it. So I'm gonna, everybody say try. I'm gonna try to tithe. All right, Lord, you have been faithful. You've always met my need. Like, dang. Where I was 3 years ago and how I'm still here and what you did. Golly, no, it ain't as much as I really want, but wow. So then he says, trust me. Get what I tell you, offering. Oh, man, I felt really good to actually believe you, see you do it, and then see the fruit of that in another season. And this last one, sacrificial. Oh, snap. This is not me trusting you. This is you entrusting me. Remember the story of the talents. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man that goes away and entrusts his wealth to three different servants. What would it look like for everybody in this church to not just trust God, but to be trusted by God? Hear what I'm saying to you. It's wrapped up in how we view what God's already given us the ability to have. So what I'm asking everybody to do as a church, I want you to pray. And whatever level you're at, whatever, I want you to take a step to the next level. So if this is your first time coming to church, you 20-something or you 60-something, and you ain't never tithed before, you ain't never heard of it, it look like you got enough money, Pastor Mike. It look like the church is doing fine. Look at that big old screen. Look, it look like this ain't got nothing to do with the screen. No, I really want you to hear me say this. This has everything to do with your heart. This ain't about the church. The church gonna be all right. This is God's church. But is your house not under the blessing it needs to be? Because you won't take this step. And everybody say, try. If you're here, all I'm asking you to do. And it's one penny on every dime. If you made $4, your tithe, 40 cents. And God looks at that the same way he looks at somebody giving 40,000. They don't even get it. How can I prove it to you? At the time when everybody in the town was giving big bucks, Jesus calls attention to one woman, to all his disciples. He says, everybody, look at her. I said, what? She giving two mites. That ain't nothing. She gave out of her. The reason this connects with me is because there's been many times where I told Charles this story earlier. When Bishop was about to pay off the building, we came to a space where people were giving sacrificially. And I remember I just bought a home and we were taken advantage of in the home. and it was our first winter. We just brought home Bella, and we went to turn on the heat, and the heat didn't work. Coldest winter that Tulsa had seen up until that point. We're literally in the house with 10 space heaters, which everybody knows that is a hazard and a half, but we were cold. And our newborn was in there, and God told us for the first time to move into sacrificial giving. And me and Natalie, we've been doing this, He said, step into this. And I said, Lord, it's cold. And why does the exact amount that it costs to put the heat in is the exact amount you asking me for? This is the devil. Can I be honest with you? He said, the devil never asks you to give. The devil never asks you to do that. Me and Natalie looked at each other, and we gave for the first time in our life as young, newly married, never was about to take over the church, didn't know it. Like, we're out here trusting you. None of this was in a forecast. We didn't have no crystal ball, no prophetic. Y'all be thinking like, oh, you knew. We didn't know nothing. Relationship goals wasn't a thing. I didn't have a car at the time. I'm having a flashback. Hold up. I didn't have a car at the time. Bree was letting me use her Sonata. That's a real thing. Like, and God said, Mike, when you give this, it's going to break something over your life. And I can tell you from that moment to this moment, God has done something supernaturally in my life that proves that he trusts me. And so whenever it comes time to give to him, what I'm about to say. Today, I'm challenging every person under the sound of my voice. This is going to be prophetic for your future. To whatever step, if you need to tithe, try God. If you need to step into giving offerings, trust God. And if God's requiring you and your husband or your wife or your children or y'all coming together or you by yourself to step into sacrificial giving, listen to me. One is not better than the other. There is not a level that God then says, yay! He says, obedience to what I told you to do. Because I don't know if I told y'all, one time I did too much and God was unpleased. Oh, y'all ain't never heard no preacher tell this story. But God told me to pay off half of somebody's car, and I paid the whole thing because I had it. And he said, you're disobedient and you stopped the blessing. I said, Lord, I thought more was always better. He says, obedience is always better than your sacrifice. He said, I meant for you to do half, and I had three other people that were going to do. You took away their opportunity at the level that they were at to walk in a blessing. And you did it out of pride and ego because you had it. And you disobeyed me. Y'all, this is not about anything except obedience. Amen? So as we come together next week, families are going to come together. People are going to fly in. There are going to be people that give online. I believe this is going to be a holy thing. Some of us know ourselves. We need to go ahead and do it this week, because you know if it's sitting in there, it's going to burn a hole. You already know. It's already, that Amazon cart is full of disobedience. Did y'all hear it? I mean, come on, let's be honest. All right, this is what I'm going to do. Today, I had an assignment, and I believe I just finished it. But I have to give you one piece of the message that I was going to speak, and I believe God wants me to speak. I've tried to speak this twice. This is the, yeah. I love God because when he allows you to prepare, then he can just do what he wants to do. I'm in his hands. So let me say this. Everybody just listen to me. I got 13 minutes. This is going to be the shortest message I ever preach. I wanted to preach a message today. I'm going to preach a message today called Kill Him with Kindness. Write it down. Kill Him with Kindness. And we're going to leave all of this. Everything I just did is the sermon, so just keep it all. Kill Him with Kindness. The subtitle of this message is Behave Like Christians. Say it with me. Behave like. Look at your neighbor and say it like you they mama. Look at them and say, behave like a Christian. Okay, pick your other neighbor who I don't know why you didn't pick them the first time, but now you got to pick on and tell them, behave like a Christian. Now, I didn't pick this subtitle. This subtitle picked me because it was the title in the Bible when I looked at the scripture in Romans 12, verse 17. It literally, the title said, behave like a Christian. And verse 17, it said, repay no one evil for evil. Have a regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge, my God, yourselves. That's a hard one to get out. Do not avenge yourselves. But God, they do not avenge, but don't nobody talk about my. Do not avenge yourself, but they got one more time. Oh, y'all know. Do not avenge yourselves. Look, rather, give place to wrath. Now, hold on, wait, whoa. Don't avenge yourself, but give place to wrath, which means wrath is not a human response. Wrath is something that we have to leave space for so something divine can do it. The thing that needs to happen to the people who are coming after your sanity, your peace, your you in the way. Okay. Do not avenge it yourself, but rather give room, give place for God to do whatever he wants to do. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, this is your job and this my job. This is what God's saying. My job is wrath. Get out the way. Your job, if your enemy's hungry, feed him. If your enemy's thirsty, looking a little parched, give him something to drink. For in doing so, you will heap hot coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with Christians aren't leaving space for God to be God and for you to be kind. Come after me. I'ma back up and ask you, are you thirsty? You talk about my family? I'ma back up because I gotta leave space Because what I want to do is get real close to you and let you know I ain't no punk. You understand? Okay. Oh, can we be honest with real feelings? I'm going to let you know. But I can't even do that. You need to back that thing. Some of y'all knew where I was going. Y'all knew. What I'm telling you right now, when evil starts to rise in your heart, you better back that thing up. Now I have a whole song in my head. All I'm trying to say is too many believers now are going towards it, which is disobedience to what he said to do. He said, don't repay that evil with evil. Don't get your Twitter finger. Don't start making rebuttal videos. Don't start getting a new podcast. Don't do that. You better back that thing up. He said, if you don't make space, both of y'all get the wrath. If you don't make space, when I decide to judge, you're in the line. And too many believers, God's holding his hand. Get out of there. Get out them comments. Get out that email. Get out that rabbit hole. Get out. Stop. Because what you're doing, because you're in the line of fire. Well, I'm just protecting my family name. You can't do that anyway. There's nothing you've ever said that has made your family name go to the top of the list. Like, just think about it. Make space. And this is where I just need to tell everybody, kindness isn't conditional, it's a command. When we talk about receipts and fruits of the Spirit, and some of us think that it's a personality trait. Oh, they're just a kind person. No. This is something that is produced by the Holy Spirit. And I just need to say that as a point. Kind isn't a personality type, it's a principle of the kingdom. So if you profess to love God and you are not kind, you are a fraud. I'm gonna say it real. Well, I just wanna be direct with people. If God was as direct with you as you are with people, would he be considered a kind and merciful God? Well, they just need to know. Hold on, wait a minute. But there's everything can be done wrapped. Well, they need to feel the sting of this. Did you feel the sting of sin? I'm just trying to figure out, are we playing with different metrics here? What I'm saying is, if you're a Christian, you are supposed to be kind. Everybody say, I'm kind. Even if you're not, by faith. No. Some of y'all ain't even, watch this. Some of us haven't even thought this was a trait to be admirable. Because all the kind people you know get played. And so you don't even think it's something to be admired, to be kind. Yet, out of everything the Bible says that we should possess as fruits of our relationship with the Holy Spirit, he said, you should be with me, and when you get with them, they should consider you kind. Oh, my God. And the reason I had to bring this out is because I think kind is kind of confused. It's kind of confused. Because people mistake nice and kind. And I'm about to teach you in the 4 minutes I got left the difference between nice and kind. Will you put it on the screen? Remember, kindness is a fruit of the Spirit. You can't be kind without him. I need you to keep this in the forefront of your mind. You cannot be kind without the Holy Spirit. You can be nice without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be kind without the Holy Spirit. People have jacked up definitions, but God tells us a fruit of the Spirit is kindness. So when somebody is nice, put it up there, they can actually be polite, but to be kind is a heart posture. My heart posture has to be like, no matter what I'm about to walk into, and no matter how they're about to treat me, and no matter what's about to happen, thank you, Holy Spirit, for transforming my life so much that I used to be like them. I used to look at people like that. God, I thank you that you're expanding my heart for grace for people who don't even understand what I'm going through and that I'm this close to the edge and they don't know me. I used to be an MMA boxer and I'd break their neck in another season. But God, I thank you that you have brought me a mighty long way. I thank you that I don't fight with my fists no more. I thank you that I fight. And what ends up happening is my heart posture. So we meet a lot of nice people, but when you're kind, that's empowered by the Spirit. Go to the second one. When you're nice, because I want to unconfuse this for us. Nice people keep it surface. How you doing? Oh, look at that. Yeah. Oh, where'd you get that? That's nice. Oh. You met people that you think are nice, but you don't know them enough to give them any different definition. So nice, yeah, my barista, they're so nice. Yet to their spouse, they're abusive. It's because you only know them on the surface. So nice is surface. But kind is a sacrifice. To be kind to some people, to be kind to my wife, to be kind to my kids. These my kids, they look like me. You just spilled the last of the juice. It don't be hard stuff. I don't know if there's any parents that'll back me up in here. I've been waiting to eat for 2 hours. And I saved everything specifically for this moment. And that's my juice. I'm so sorry, Daddy. I didn't mean to. I know you didn't mean to. I know you didn't mean to. I'm talking. But what does it look like to be kind? Watch this. When you're in conflict, that's empowered by the Holy. Let me keep going. Some people are nice, and when you're nice, keep going, put it up there. It's an acknowledgement. Like, oh, you did good. Oh, that was so nice for them to notice me. Nobody ever does that like that. You're powerful. That's a nice thing. But when you get to kind, it's active. So kind requires something of me. Okay, nobody's ever done it like that. So I'm going to call the 3 people that I know that can take that to the next level for you. And I'm going to set up a meeting for you. And I know this has nothing to do with me, but I know the people that can take what you just did to the next level. So I'm about to get active. I'm about to do something that is a sacrifice that actually is not just polite. It's my heart posture. I'm walking into the room looking how I can help, how I can give. And I'm about to get active. And they didn't answer my first phone call. Let me text you back. I did call them, but I know they're out right now. So let me get back to you. I'm about to get. And there are too many believers that are nice, but not kind. You have a couch that could furnish somebody's apartment. And you're sick of the couch, and you're going to throw it away because you don't want to take the time to have to put it on a truck to get it to somebody. I didn't say it. You said it. She said, that's lazy. I didn't say it. One thing it is not kind. Okay, let's keep going. We're almost there. Do y'all hear what I'm saying? Nice is being considerate. No, you can have the parking space. No, you. You know what I'm saying? You're doing a little inch forward and like, no, you. Like, and then finally y'all about to get in a car accident because nobody goes. Like, okay. It's considerate. Kind. It's compassionate. It's being in the parking space, when in the parking space, and then seeing. And you didn't even notice that they had a special needs sticker on the back of their car. The reason they needed that parking spot, because if you would have saw the special needs sticker, you would have been nice. But that conviction of the Holy Spirit made you compassionate. And you didn't even know why. But it was something that came on the inside of you. And you saw this. You said, oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Because you don't know what it is to lift up that 80-pound boy into the wheelchair and then have to. The church can't just be nice. We have to be kind. And kindness is only empowered by the Holy Spirit. And many of us let our preferences and our opinions and our beliefs and our political parties and the color of people's skin make us nice to people and not kind. There are a lot of white people that are nice to black people. I'll even let you talk to me. I'll come to your church. But I've never been to your house. Y'all saw how quiet it just got? Because we can live in a world where we're nice to each other. But you could give me a job. And you could promote me too, because you see how I work. But you've been nice to me. But the Holy Spirit hasn't allowed you to be. Oh, and black people, do not think for a second. You like the man. No. Come here. You can be nice to your boss, but make jokes about them behind their back all the time. You can talk about, my analogies just went they went too real. So I'm gonna come back up. What I'm saying is, racially, spiritually, maybe we don't just need to be nice to each other. Maybe we need to be. There's no better story of this than the Good Samaritan. Where this man gets beat up and literally gets mugged, everything stolen from him. And the pastor walks by and prays for him on the move. Hope God does something for him. Then the worship leader walks by and says, late in the midnight hour, God's gonna turn it around. And then somebody that was a different ethnicity and didn't even know what was happening, the Bible says, they felt compassion. And their compassion made them go to this person. Oh, y'all just gotta see it. This is my last scripture, okay? I wanna go to Luke 10:30. Then the despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt compassion for him. Going over to him, the Samaritan, watch this, soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged him. He had to take something he already had and give it to somebody he didn't know. Olive oil, that would have been his resources. He gave to somebody with no guarantee of giving back to them. Then he put the man on his donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. Think about this. Think about going to the most expensive hotel in this city, putting somebody in the hotel, knowing they're broke down, and then saying they don't have a time limit. Let them stay here as long as they need to. And if they run it up, I'll take care of it when I come back. Most of us would have been like, hey, give them 2 nights. No, come on. Give them 2 nights and then give them a continental breakfast on the way out on the 3rd. What time y'all start charging? 2? Make sure they're gone at 1:30. But this man was kind. He said, I don't know how this is going to impact me, but I'm moved with compassion. Look what it says. This is Jesus talking. Now, which one of these 3 people, the pastor who prayed for him on the move, the worship leader who sang to him but didn't stop for him, which one of these would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by bandits? Jesus asked. The man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. See, being nice, put that thing back on here. We're about to close. Being nice. Nice is selective. You can be nice to people in your group. Nice to people who believe like you. Nice to people who go to your church. Nice to people who your kids play soccer with. Nice to the, come on. Nice is selective. Kind, selfless. This is the fruit of the Spirit. And many of us, watch this, to be kind, we're going to have to face the culture that has raised us. The complex of how you view the culture of your life is going to come in conflict with being kind to people. Because if somebody has on a Make America Great hat, there are people in this room and listening to me that would not help them. Oh no, Christians. I'm not talking to anybody other than believers. And please don't act shocked. Because there are certain people, if they wore an Obama shirt or a Kamala Harris shirt, you would not even think twice about inviting them to your church. And it's so crazy that a person can be dehumanized to the point that what they wear or what they believe currently makes them no longer your brother or sister in Christ. The claps are weak and weary. It's not me. This the Bible. And the truth is, most Christians aren't acting like Christians. I had a stat in my message that said in the 50s, 78% of America went to some type of religious experience yearly. It's less than 30% now. Do you know why the number one reason of all the people polled? Is because they say Christians are judgmental and unkind. How in the world is the thing Jesus know for, we don't look anything like? No, I'm for real, y'all. You've been mean to people for years and won't apologize. If they're on the worship team, you'll make it right so you can use their gift. But the person who has no consequence on what happens on the platform, But as a child of God, where's the compassion? It's time for us to not be selective. For us to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to be selfless. Two more. Being nice is being passively agreeable. I kind of believe that. Come on. That's okay. That doesn't offend me, so okay, cool. Being kind means that you can completely disagree with me. And I'm powerfully anchored. I do not have to agree with you to actually be kind with you. There are people that think things about me in this church that have nothing but fabricated ideas. I'm being very kind with my words. Straight up lies. Yet, God tells me to give to some of them. Now you want to do lunch. And I don't want to go. Okay. I don't want to go because the Lord's still working. But I'm going to start by sending you a video. I'm being too real right now. Who to give to? Somebody put them on the list. Ooh, not them. God said exactly them. Oh. But Lord, I have screen shaved what they said about me. Somebody sent it to me. I didn't even ask for it. But they told their whole congregation in the same city. Give to them, Lord. Be kind. Holy Spirit, activate. Come on, y'all. This will not be me. And God says, this is you backing up and making space. Hey, Doc, just want to thank you, brother. You don't know what this means to what God is doing. Yeah. Hey, bro, just want to let you know God's thinking of you. And I was going to lie and say I'm praying for you. And so watch what I'm telling y'all a real story. And so I feel naked up here. Okay. And in my mind, I was like, tell him you praying for him. And the Holy Spirit said, pray for him now. I get so weak in the knees. I can hardly. It almost took me out. Because I'm about to lie. I was about to do Christian lying. Hey, I'll be praying for you, Doc. No, I haven't. Have not been praying for you. Can I be honest, y'all? Hey, bro, you're on God's mind. That's right, because you wasn't on mine. No. And, bro, let me pray for you. Father, thank you for blessing this man of God. Thank you for blessing their ministry. Thank you that their marriage would be strong, Father. And just thank you. Thank you, Lord, that in somewhere in the middle of me making that video, a dam broke in my heart. And it was almost like it became, I saw myself. I saw my friends and I don't know what made him say that, but Lord, and I just thank you that anything that's been a pressure on him, any lie that's ever been spoken, God, would you, and I mean, it just started gushing out. That wasn't me. That wasn't my flesh. That was me being empowered by the Holy Spirit to be kind. Standing all over this building. Last one, nice. Nice is something that you make an idea is good and it becomes self-improvement. to be nicer. I want to be nicer to people. But being nice is self-improvement. Being kind, listen, is spirit empowered. Don't just make a decision to be nice. Every person in this room, if you are a believer in Jesus, you should be kind. I'm going to pray for every person that you would allow the Holy Spirit. Watch this. Everybody listen. I know you're excited to leave, but hear what I'm saying. Because this would be all for nothing if you go out of here and act the same way. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit what ideas you have to let go of to actually be kind. One of the ideas, let me give you an example. I don't have time to go all into it, but an example was I was weak if I was kind in the face of adversity. Bring the thing real fast in my closing. Can you bring that real quick? Just bring it real fast. You don't even got to bring it on the table. Just bring it. Because this is what tries to happen. Is when people get in a hot situation, a pressure situation, a tension situation, what ends up happening is it's trying to change your character. Hear what I'm saying to you. And what ends up happening is we are not supposed to allow the situation to turn us into something we're not supposed to be. So this is burning hot water. And burning hot water, when I put an egg in it, it becomes hard on the inside. And there are too many people that when God puts you in a tension situation or a boiling situation or a pressure situation, you do not look like God, you become hard. And there are people under the sound of my voice, you're hard. Something that's supposed to flow is now very stationary. And today I believe by the power of the Holy Spirit, there's something that's going to change in your heart. And then there's another group of people that when they're put under pressure, you just become soft and mushy. Nothing in you will stand for anything. When you're put in pressure, you lose your convictions. Because you can be kind and still have a conviction. And most people think that letting anything happen is kind. No. You can't talk to my kids any type of way. I'm telling you, no. You can cuss to your kids. But I'm kindly letting you know that language is not okay around them. And so many people think that we have to let anything that anybody does go or we're not being kind. The goal is not to get hard or to get mushy. The goal is that when there is something that is hot and pressure is put on us, we would release an aroma. See, if you were close to this right now, you would smell the raspberry and the jasmine, and you would smell the things, because when I get put into hot situations, what comes up off of me, it smells like him. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. It's in his kindness and his mercy. So you got all you want to say about me. All you about to smell is something sweet. This is what the believer should be. Not hard, not soft, but let it be a sweet, sweet smell. Let it be a sweet, sweet smell. At your job, with your family, let it be a sweet. With your wife, with your husband. It's time for the church, Christians, to be kind. Everybody that is under the sound of my voice, I'm charging you that this next season is not just about how much power you can produce in your life. It's actually getting a new definition from people around you. Let it be one of your goals that people would say about you when you're not in the room, that's one of the kindest people I know. Now listen, you may never hear it. You may never hear these words, but on your vision board this year, don't put a car, put kind. I mean, you can put the car too. But I'm just saying, like, what if the fruits of the Spirit was the vision board? What if this year, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kind. Just want to be more like him. Because Titus 3:3 says, once we, too, were foolish and disobedient, we were misled and became slave to many lusts and pleasures. That's me. Our lives were full of evil and envy. That's me. And we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness. The reason we're saved is because God was kind. When he revealed his kindness and love, he saved us. Not because of the righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life. Through, I love how the Bible brings everything together. The only way he did it was through the Holy Spirit. Would you lift your hands all over? Father, I thank you that today we are all making a decision to be more like you and allow the Holy Spirit to develop kindness, not just in our thoughts, but in our actions. God, will you help me be kind? Come on, I need you to just ask the Holy Spirit right there. Help me to be kind. Help me to be kind, not just to those who are far from me and don't have a close view of me. Help me be kind to my wife and to my children and to my roommate. Help me be kind to my boss and my coworkers. Help me be kind to people, Father, that have told me they'll stay. Many times we take advantage of those who are committed to us. Father, would you allow us to be kind to those who don't believe like us? Those who don't just don't believe with us, who actually hate what we love. Father, this is hard Bible. But I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to give me empowerment that is not generated by me wanting to be better. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Holy Spirit, for every person making comments and videos, would you allow me to be kind? Give me the opportunity to be kind to them. Father, I make space for you to be God and for me to give them drink, for me to feed them. Father God, will you help me remember this message? Oh, y'all, I'm praying real prayers right now. Father, I need you. Whether it's the lavender, whether it's the flower, Father, whether it's the egg or the carrot, help me remember this is your will. This is what you want from me. You want me to be kind. I'm not your soldier in a way to make you look big and bad. I'm your soldier when I'm kind to people. That proves I'm in the army of the Lord. Help me be gentle and kind and still be in joy. Thank you, Father, for doing a work on the inside that shows up on the outside. We'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise for it. Even in this moment, I was thinking, like, I was about to do my jacket in joy, and I was like, dang, I didn't put it there today because we decided to live in joy. Oh! It's still on me. Now, it may take different positions. It may not be some of y'all like, what is he talking about? We decided we're going to live in. I usually have it right here. But as long as it's on me, don't lose your joy. Today, I want to give people the opportunity to receive Christ. because it was his kindness. And I know there's been people that are here and you've heard like big topics today. Like you heard us talk about finances. You heard me talk about the church not being like you. Like, dang, I kind of like he going off on them. But what I'm saying is join us and represent. Like what I'm saying is the reason we're talking about it is because we're not going to live that way. We're trying to do something different. This week, as you go, I want you to be kind to people. But some people, you don't have the power to be kind because you have not accepted Jesus and you have not received the Holy Spirit. So today, if you're in this room, on the count of three, I'm going to give you the opportunity to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ. And this is the thing that took me from being a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography. Somebody had very dark stuff in their heart. And it didn't make me a perfect man, but it made me a progressing man that transformed everything about me. Today, even as we're here, there are people around you. There are people that are you that need to give Jesus your life. And I need the church to begin to pray. There are people that are watching right now online. You've been feeling this tug. It's the Holy Spirit drawing you with his kindness right now. And on the count of three, I just want you to lift your hands if you want to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. One, you're making the greatest decision of your life. Two, the Holy Spirit is about to enter your life and transform you for the better and is about to change everything. Three, shoot your hand up in the air if you want to give your life to Jesus. I saw you right there. I see you right there. I see you. Oh, Transformation Church, I see you. More than that, God sees you. I see you, my brother. Hey, TC, I see you. Glory to God. Y'all don't know what this is. Heaven is turning up right now. Hey, listen, TC, we're a family. Nobody prays alone. I want everybody to say this prayer together. Say, God, thank you for in your kindness, you sent Jesus. Today, I give you my life. Change me, renew me, transform me. I'm yours. I repent of my old ways. And I turn to you. I'm all yours. Make me more like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can we turn up with everybody? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Can we thank God? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen, if you just made that decision, I want you to text SAVE to 828282. You are a part of this family. We want to walk with you. There's exciting things that are coming on your horizon. Come back for Wednesday night Bible study. Make it here with us. Let's learn how to pray together. Come next week. And I'm telling you, as we go, and I want y'all to pray about giving next week, do not be condemned. Hear what I'm saying to you. I know everybody got to leave, but listen. Do not be condemned on what you want to do and what you have the ability to do. Obey God and walk away knowing you did everything God told you to do. Amen? Until next week, I want you to go out and live a transformed life. Hug on somebody. We love you so much. God bless you.
Hey, I want to take a moment again before we jump off and say thank you. Our church is not built on one individual, but on the sacrifice of so many. And you being a part, it means the world. So thanks for watching the message. I also want to say thank you to the thousands of people around the world who are generous. It means the world. And we are able to represent, we're able to be generous, to meet the needs of people because of your giving. If you haven't taken the step to give, trust me, there is no pressure at all. But if you feel led, you can text the word give to 828282, or you can go online. When we partner together, God uses our generosity to make a difference. Again, if you haven't, take a moment to subscribe to the YouTube channel. And more than watching on YouTube, join us on Sundays. Every single Sunday we're here, 10:45 CST AM. We would love to see you. And like we always say, go out and live a transformed life.